NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country, sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
All right, now back and making his sixth appearance with us here on Thursday night, Tailgate, is former Giants Pro Bowl defensive tackle and two-time Super Bowl champion, Leonard Marshall. Let me remind you about Leonard's background. He is from Franklin, Louisiana, played his college ball at LSU, where he was named team MVP in 1982. In the classroom, Leonard earned his undergraduate degree in business administration in 1984, his certification in management, and later his master's degree from Seton Hall in finance in 2007. He was a second-round draft pick, the 37th selection overall in 1983 by the New York Giants, played in the league from 83 to 94. 10 of those seasons were with the Giants. He played one season each with the Jets and the Redskins. Was named to the Pro Bowl three times in 1985, 86, and 91. He was a part of two of the Giants Super Bowl championship teams in 1986 and 1990. He was inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in 2008, and goodness knows, should be in the Giants Ring of Honor. And we are excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Leonard, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Leonard.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Great to have you back.
We're fantastic, Leonard. How have you been?
I've been good, man. I just finished dinner with my buddy Barry Barone and his beautiful wife, Kathy. And I said, you know, I got to go ahead and get on this radio show, so I hope you guys don't mind.
And my lovely fiance, by the way,
who's nudging me over here.
So, Leonard, as we've said many times with you, we don't understand how you are not in the Giants Ring of Honor. Are we getting any closer to seeing you up there?
Well, guys, you know, I got the same problem that you have. I don't understand it. I guess you can talk about the politics, whatever you want to call it, but for some reason, passing old number 70 over. I mean, you know, my statistics speak for themselves in terms of what I did in the Giants uniform and what I gave to my teammates. You know, as many teams as I played on with the New York Giants, and I just don't understand how the politics hasn't caught up with the Giant organization, and they turn around and say to me, hey, Mr. Marshall, it's time for us to recognize, you know, you're third all-time in quarterback sacks in the history of the organization. You know, you doubled your tackle total of any other defensive lineman that we had to work here other than Michael Strahan. So, you know, I just don't understand how the politics hasn't caught up with the times. But, you know, it kind of is what it is at this point. And hopefully they'll, you know, one day wake up and realize that, you know, everything that I gave them as a player, playing opposite Lawrence Taylor and opposite Harry Carson, helped benefit their organization in terms of winning championships both in 1986 and 1990.
And Leonard, speaking of Lawrence Taylor, during Super Bowl week here in Atlanta, they had a big, you know, surprise 60th birthday party for Lawrence Taylor. Wanted to get your favorite memories of LT.
I think one of the fondest memories I have of Lawrence as a player was, you know, we went into New Orleans to play the Saints. I'm going to say it was probably 1986, 85, 86, 87. One of those seasons we went in there and, you know, he and I both were injured. I had a problem with my ribs and I was recovering from a broken wrist from the year before. And he had a separated left shoulder. And that day was just a special day because we both played injured, literally played hurt. And I'm going to go beyond injured. We both played hurt. And we put together a performance between the two of us that was like second to none. And real warrior type of football that we played that afternoon, he and I. And, you know, kudos to, you know, what we did for our football team and the way we represented the Giant organization and the toughness that we showed as players to be able to play through pain versus what some of the kids do today. I mean, they get a hangnail. They're looking to miss 3 weeks, you know. He and I went out there and did it, you know, all beat up and everything else and not make it anywhere near the money these kids make today. So, you know, that memories like that is what I remember about Lawrence Taylor. The warrior-like attitude that he had, his ability to will himself to do just about anything he wanted to do on the football.
And Leonard, having won two Super Bowls. This time of year has got to bring back some happy memories for you. When you look back on the two Super Bowl wins that you were a part of, what sticks out? What are the things that jump to your forefront when you're thinking about those wins?
I think the first game was in Pasadena. We were, you know, the underdog in the game. We weren't favored to win. The score was 10-9 at halftime or some ridiculous score. We come out the second half, we score, you know, 20 points, you know, and, or 30 points rather. We do it on the backbone of our fanship that showed up from New York. I think we had double the amount of fans that Denver had in California that day. And the second half, we came out, stadium looked like it was a sea of blue, and they were playing the Sinatra song, New York, New York. And, you know, my teammates and I all looked at each other, and we were like, you know, this feels like a home game on this thing. And, you know, and that's exactly what happened in the second half. And we took control of everything and then ran away with the ball game. So memories like that, Super Bowl 21, I have. You know, Super Bowl 25, I think the fondest memory I have, Super Bowl 25, was the Scott Norwood kick and me turning to my dad saying, you know, Dad, he missed his kick. You get that brand new Lincoln Continental you've been wanting. So, you know, I still laugh at that one, man, because, you know, we just never figured we'd be in that position. But, you know, thanks to the effort that we put forth the week before against the San Francisco 49ers, we deserve to be there, and we deserve to be able to play in that game.
I have questions for Leonard.
Always great memories when we talk to you, Leonard. I mean, I think we've mentioned in the past, when you came into the league in 83, Parcells, it wasn't the most successful season, but what a coaching staff he had. Guys like Earhart and Belichick and Romeo Crennel and Mike Pope, I can go on. But back to Belichick, he was, at the time, Leonard, linebackers, maybe special teams coach. What do you remember about him in your rookie season, and could you envision the type of success he's had?
Oh, he drove me crazy my rookie year because, you know, they just demanded, they had a huge demand for my skill set because they traded away a player by the name of Gary Jeter. And Jeter was not a favorite of Belichick, nor was he a favorite of Parcells. He wasn't, you know, one of these dominant players that game or dominate his position in the course of a game. But, you know, they had a like because he was a professional. I think when I came in, I didn't really show them I was a professional in terms of my rookie season. But the more I played my rookie year, the better I got. It was his ability to keep encouraging me to put on to become a student of the game and, you know, and be able to grow from that. I actually grew leaps and bounds from watching the way that he approached the game in terms of his efforts, in terms of studying film, studying players, watching formations, watching personnel, and everything else. And that helped me significantly my first 2 years in the league. My third year in the league, I'm defensive lineman of the year. You know, I'm 50.5 quarterback sacks and a 3-4 defense, which is unheard of. And, you know, from that point forward, I just, you know, always brought that lunch pail attitude to work. And, he was the guy who put me down the line, and I forgot what that was. He put me back in check. So, you know, we gave him the nickname Bill Bedcheck because he always was the guy checking the beds on Saturday night and making sure guys were tucked in nice and cozy and comfy in that hotel room the night before a game. But more importantly, he made sure that players were on point in terms of what they need to do to be ready and prepared to play the next day. So I had the utmost respect for him, and I actually knew that if the Giants ever let that man leave that organization, that they were going to regret it. And I'm quite sure today they still regret it.
And Leonard, you've had so many great teammates, and I think one that always kind of went under the radar screen was George Martin. And this was a guy that had been in the league, I believe, 8 years already when you got there, and would play another 5. Guy never missed games, very steady, very classy individual from what I gather, never made a Pro Bowl. But your memories of George Martin, one of the underrated guys in those squads.
George Martin took me under his wing my rookie year and helped me to develop as a player. He was probably Jerry Jeter's best friend on the team. you know, the year before I arrived. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, helped me get my life together outside of football, in terms of going back to school and standing upon my education and my aspiration for life after football. And, you know, I owe a lot to Chef George Martin, helped Leonard Marshall to achieve. But the greatest thing that George Martin ever could have did for Leonard was just to continue to encourage, to be that big brother, and to be that crutch, that emotional crutch, that physical crutch, that player crutch that a young player that's trying to develop needs in his life at an early stage of his career. You know, and I've always been a guy to tell Leonard. I've never shied away from that. If it wasn't for guys like George Martin, you know, like a Harry Carson and a Phil Simms and players like that who just always gave it themselves and never were as selfish a player, I always thought about young guys and trying to help them come along and knew and saw the value in that, I wouldn't be who I am today. I really would.
Leonard, I want to go back and get your thoughts on your alma mater, LSU. Finished last season at 10-3, 5-3 in the conference. How you feel about where they're headed, and can they finally challenge Alabama and Georgia next season in the SEC?
Well, I hope you guys can tell me they signed a quarterback or two this offseason, because I think that's been the biggest hinder for us down in Baton Rouge, just trying to find a quarterback that can really help Miles Lakers and help that team grow in terms of leadership skill and ability to make plays both on the field and off the field to help, you know, foster that winning attitude. I think that's been the biggest problem for LSU football for probably the last 7 to 10 years, is not being able to have a quarterback to go into a game with Alabama and really compete with them at a high level. I think, you know, defensively speaking, we've had the talent on the line. We've had the talent in the linebacker corps. We've had one of the best secondaries, if not the greatest secondary in college football the last 5 to 7 years, and wide receivers for that matter. The running back position has been superb and slightly above some of the other teams in the conference, but it's just that play at the quarterback position has always been, you know, stagnant and average at best. I'm hoping that either it's a breakout season for Joe Burrows or that we got a guy in the offseason, a freshman, that can come in and play like the freshman from Clemson and really uplift this team and put it on its shoulders and carry it over the goal line in terms of challenging Alabama and Auburn and Georgia for the SEC championship.
And Leonard, you mentioned the big game that you had down in New Orleans a few minutes ago. When you were growing up, being from that part of the country, did you want to be a Saint? Were you a huge Saints fan growing up?
No, I really wasn't a Saints fan, to be honest with you. I really wasn't. I was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
There you go.
I used to tease my father a lot because my father was a Cowboy man. So he used to give me that crap with Tom Landry and everything underneath the hat and all this other stuff. And, you know, I'm friends with Thomas Hollywood Henderson and Tony Dorsett and a couple of other old Cowboy guys. And I always tell them how big a fan my father was of those teams that they played on. But, you know, even when I played them as a Giant, he still rooted for the Cowboys. So, it still blows my mind that he was like that.
I wish that the Saints were as competitive as they are now. You know, you look at the Saints organization now, it is light years ahead of where it was in terms of an organization back when I was a kid, you know, in 1967, 68, 69.
Leonard, one more before we let you go. And you've gotten involved with a new company now that has an apple juice infused with CBD. Talk about the company and what the drink does.
Well, we've got this. It's really delicious drink. It's called Apple Rust. It is a fruit-infused sparkling water and sparkling beverage. It's gluten-free. It's got a natural sugar from fruit. No sucrose added. Yeah, we're pretty excited about the product. My partners in the business are Peter and Philip Bush from Anheuser-Busch and the King of Beers at Budweiser and Budweiser Product. And the CEO of the company is my dear friend, David Anthony Turlegood from Wisconsin, who does a great job down in Titusville, Florida, in terms of running the company and driving the traffic in terms of sales and distribution of our product. You know, it's sold on Amazon. It's also sold in many retailers in the South. We're working towards getting a relationship in the Northeast with in Sarah Foods and ShopRite Food Stores in New Jersey.
hoping to expand our horizons from there.
Well, Leonard, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, you can follow me at Instagram, LeonardMarshall70. You can follow me on Twitter, same thing, LeonardMarshall70. And you can follow me pretty much in terms of our business at applerush.com and canbiola.com. Canbiola is something I'm very excited about, which is a new CBD company that I helped to formulate with a solid group of guys out of Hicksville, New York. We've got an incredible product coming that we're introducing to the market that we think will help revolutionize the way athletes are treated in terms of getting them back ready to play and recovering from injury with the infusion of CBD and a new TENS unit called the SAM. And the SAM 1 and the SAM 2, we think that this device will help players recover a lot quicker from injury, especially with hamstrings, shoulders, ankles, knees, quads, and things of that nature, and get them back on the field to play and help them be competitive and help their team win.
Well, Leonard, it's always a lot of fun for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. You've been a great friend over the years. We can't thank you enough for your time again tonight, and we hope we get the opportunity to have you back again real soon.
Thank you very much, guys. Much continued success, fellas.
Keep in touch. Take care.
Thank you, Leonard. Take care. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
That is the great Leonard Marshall, and doing some new products, Bob, which is interesting. We certainly want to stay up to date with that. But you look back over the course of his playing career, it is absolutely a mystery how he is not in the Giants' Ring of Honor. Certainly deserves to be there.
Yeah, that many sacks, Chris, and the impact he had on a football field. Ask anyone that played with him, and he deserves it.
We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. Going to get to Tony on the other side of this real quick station break.